The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by Matt Campbell. He's the brother of Jeff Campbell, who died in the North Tower on September 11th, 2001. He is working with AE 9/11 Truth on a new effort that we'll be talking about today. But first, I just want to say, Matt, welcome back to 9/11 Freefall.
Thanks, Andy.
We have an anniversary coming up. I know that you're going to be one of the speakers at this event that is online on September 11th to September 13th. We talked about it last week. A large part of what you're going to be talking about that day is what you're going to be talking about today, this planned inquest. But I want you to tell our audience about it because in a large part, this is your initiative. So let's lay it out for our audience.
Okay, so I don't think you have inquests over in the States. It's still under sort of what you call normal English law, but it's something that's held when someone dies in suspicious or, you know, searches like being murdered, whether it be in the UK or overseas. And in the case of my brother, obviously it was overseas, and because his remains were identified, he was one of 10 British victims who had their remains identified. The repatriation of those remains back to the UK triggered an inquest, which initially was penciled in for 2004, but was actually adjourned until 2013. So he's had an inquest. So what I'm trying to do is reopen my brother's inquest on the basis that there is a lot of evidence that wasn't considered when he had his first inquest, and certainly I didn't have it to hand in a way that could be easily presented at a coroner's court, but also the lack of investigation primarily the British authorities, but that's essentially because the investigations were carried out in the US, which, you know, to a certain extent is outside of the jurisdiction of the British police, etc. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of my brother was still entitled to a proper investigation into his death. So in the UK, we have a mechanism which allows us to challenge a death where, you know, you believe wrongdoing's been done, not like, obviously, in this case, murder. And it is simple, because it isn't simple, but it's a process whereby you petition the Attorney General, which is a position that's it's held in this country at the moment by a female MP, a Member of Parliament. And you, in that petition or that application, you present your case and your evidence as to why a new inquest needs to be held. And the process is quite clear. It's a process that a lot of people follow. So it might be, for example, someone dying in suspicious circumstances in a police cell, and a family isn't happy about it, and this could be, you know, weeks, days, months, years after the event, if you've got sufficient evidence to show that, you know, it wasn't considered at the first inquest. And, yeah, I mean, for a long time, I've always felt that this could be potentially one of the quickest routes to actually get evidence that was never considered as part of the various investigations that were held in the US. But, you know, to also some of that official narrative. And so, yeah, I'm really pleased that I've got this opportunity to do it. It's, I'm sure we'll go into it. It's not a cheap process by any means. It's expensive to get the right level of expertise, to get the right people to help you to petition the Attorney General. But now I'm very hopeful that we will get this into court. And so, yeah, I mean, that's it, I guess, in a nutshell, what I'm trying to do. I mean, I can go into, you know, what I'm actually trying to, what I'm challenging in the inquest. Is that something that would be useful to go over?
Well, absolutely. We do want to talk about that. I just want to highlight also that this is not just Matt Campbell, but your whole family is signing onto this inquest. Isn't that correct?
Yes. I mean, for a long time, my mum's always supported my my efforts, but my brother Rob and my dad, Malcolm, are now supporting me and will actually be signing the petition, which I'm really pleased about. And I think in part it is, you know, once this has become real, I've talked about it for a long time, but, you know, now that we're actually, you know, I've engaged with this, very happy with the barrister that I've got, you know, and he's putting this case together, you know, with A&E's help. It's encouraged them, I think, to just go, right, you know, this is our chance to try and get some justice and shed some more light on the truth of what happened, you know, to Jeff. My brother Rob and my dad have never really wanted to sort of look back. I mean, just like anyone who gets someone killed, you can't bring them back. But, you know, that they've not really been that interested in some of my efforts, you know, not compared to myself and my mum, but they have, and it really is down to, I think, the case that we're putting together and the barrister that we've engaged. It gives it that level of gravitas that you need to convince anyone that, you know, this is not 9/11 truth conspiracy stuff. This is real. There's a lot of evidence that's out there that needs its day in court, and this is, for me, the best way of doing it. The actual inquest itself is you did say we'd go into this. I was going to talk about the scope of the inquest. Can we go over that now?
Please do.
Yeah, so an inquest, its purpose is not to assign blame. So I gave that example of someone dying in a police cell. It's not trying to establish that, you know, a policeman killed, you know, someone who died in the cell. That's not the purpose. It's to basically ascertain, how did that person die? And some, you know, to some extent, the broader circumstances around that. So for my brother at the moment, at the inquest summary basically said that AA11 caused the North Tower to collapse, which ultimately led to the unlawful killing of him overseas in an act of terrorism. What I am specifically, well, there's two things that I'm specifically asking the Attorney General to do. Number one is quash the initial inquest because it didn't consider lots of evidence. It was insufficient in the level of inquiry that it had, but also to reopen a new inquest to consider all this new evidence. And so the scope we're focusing on is purely the claim, which is obviously very much focused on the work that A&E have done over the years. It's focused on the official narrative, which says that AA11 was the cause of the North Tower's collapse, which ultimately led to my brother's death. What we are putting forward as a case is that explosives, incendiaries, either directly or indirectly, so directly obviously would mean he was killed outright when the explosives went off, or indirectly through the tower's collapse, which was caused by explosives and incendiaries. So it's narrow in scope, but in some respects, you know, if we can actually get that into court and prove that that was the case, it kind of blows open a lot of that 9/11, way more than just that limited scope of what I'm looking at. So it's not plunging things like it's a coordinated attack by Al-Qaeda. It's not challenging just other aspects that the coroner summarised in the inquisition form. That's great because it actually, you know, the more focused the narrow the scope is, given the strength of evidence that we have, you know, the greater the chance that we're gonna get this into court. So I can talk to your listeners a little bit about the process of what the petition involves.
Yeah, that was very fascinating because I'm not very familiar with this process, and I would suspect many members of our audience are not either. So please tell us, how is this going to go? What do we look for as we move forward?
Okay, so you essentially lay out your case on paper. So the petition will have lots of, I think you guys call them assertions. It will have lots of witness statements, which are basically affidavits, I think, and stuff like that. But every point that we make is backed up by either evidence or expert testimony. And that petition is submitted to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General gives the same law that our barrister looked at in preparing the case. So, you know, the barrister will only put forward our petition if he has a very high confidence level, I guess, that we are going to convince the Attorney General to reopen the inquest. But what the role of the Attorney General is, they look at the evidence, they have their own team of people, specialists, etc. They look at the law, they look at what's being presented, and if they agree that there is new evidence that needs to be heard, or there was an insufficiency of inquiry in the first place, they can issue or give authority or issue a fiat to the High Court, which is a, it's not the highest, but it's a high court, one below the Supreme Court in the UK, but have the job then to, again, using the same law that the barristers looked at, the same law that the Attorney General's looked at, will then consider the evidence and all the arguments made, and if they agree with the Attorney General, which in theory you would hope they would because they're looking at the same law, would then instruct another coroner's court to quash the initial inquest and reopen a new one. They would put the coroner's court to appoint a coroner to start the process again. And obviously at that point, we would then have, as well as being able to call witnesses and all the rest of it, we'd have legal representation, which I didn't have at my brother's first, the inquest that was first held back in 2013. So the initial hurdle, if you want to call it that, for me, is, I think you guys, it should be, the bar that you have to jump over to convince the Attorney General that there needs to be a new inquest isn't actually that high in terms of, you know, have we got enough to amply demonstrate that. I believe we have, and the barrister certainly believes that. So that, for us, should just be a formality. In theory, the Attorney General, even though he's a member of the Conservative Party, is supposed to be acting completely politically neutral, as well as, geopolitically neutral. And, you know, we've looked through lots of case law of cases where, you know, the government has done wrongdoing, and, you know, Attorney General still open inquests on behalf of family members. So I could give you a couple of examples. One would be Hillsborough disaster, which was a football, a soccer disaster where nearly 100 people died, and it took a long time for the families eventually get their justice in court and a second inquest. But also Bloody Sunday, which I have spoken about before, was a similar process whereby clearly the government had done wrong and indeed covered up stuff. But again, you know, that was held and was reopened, and they quashed the initial inquest. And, you know, and more importantly, cleared the names of the family members. So, you know, it's not impossible to fight something which, you know, the size of 9/11, you sort of think it's impossible. But I do believe that, you know, we have a good, if not better, chance than of achieving some sort of degree of truth and justice in this country, more so at this moment in time than maybe in the States. And so, yeah, I'm very positive that this is going to have a good outcome. But that's an idea of the process that's involved. The stage we're at right now, and what A&E are fundraising, and all your listeners and people who donate are kind of helping enabling, is actually getting the petition into this laying out the case on paper into a format that will, you know, slam dunk, convince the Attorney General to give the authority, push it to the High Court. And then, you know, after that, we see where it goes. But that's absolutely critical what we're working on right now. Well, I must say one thing, and I know, A&E's been going for a long time now, and everyone else who's contributed to this aspect of stuff. When did Richard start? Was it 2006, 2007? I can't remember. But, all the people that have helped work on this, the lawyer has said, I hope I can sort of say this, that, the way that stuff has been put together is almost tailor-made for the case that he's trying to put forward to the Attorney General. It's been done in such a professional way. And that's really helping us, because it's a lengthy, time-consuming process. This barrister, which I should say is very different to, what you think of as a lawyer, or what we think of as a lawyer rather in this country. A lawyer in this country might deal with things like wills and conveyance on purchasing a house and stuff like that. As a barrister is very much geared towards doing stuff in court. I mean, in this case, the barrister we've got also works in coroner's courts. So he really does have the expertise, and he's and his family's in lots of sort of what you call controversial cases. So he really is good value for his, let's say, $500 an hour, whatever it costs. But that's a critical part of the effort that we're doing. We need that level of expertise because you've got, that one chance of laying out your case on paper, and it's got to be perfect. So that's the process that we've begun. But in order to get that all wrapped up and to try and submit on or before the 11th of September, there's still a chunk of work to be done, nearly for the three weeks, 4 weeks are we coming up to for Friday, of work still to be done. So you can do the math on that. It's not cheap. But very, very hopeful that A, we can raise the money, and B, we can get this in. And like I said, the Attorney General issues the authority to reopen the inquest.
That's right. It's a very important effort that's going on, and something that has a chance of really going far, but it is not cheap. Hence why we are raising funds right now. So if you can spare a little bit towards getting justice for Jeff, and by extension, all the other people that died at the World Trade Center on September 11th, please consider doing so, because this is going to have major ramifications if it goes forward and they find that there was reason to question the official story on that day and relook at how Jeff died and so many other people. Now, after the application is submitted, you and AE 911 Truth will be working to get other family members on board. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I'm not too sure about exactly what I can say and not say, but in general, there's I guess two levels of family members in the UK. The probably the most important group is the other nine families or victims who had a joint inquest. Although they have their own individual inquisitions, it was held as a joint inquest. Nothing prevents me and my family from doing what we're doing, but obviously if we could get some of those family members on board to either reopen their own loved one's inquest or support what I'm doing with Jeff, it'd be massive. I know from talking to quite a few over the years that some do have viewpoints that they don't believe everything about the official narrative. One chap sort of relayed that he had, spoken to some firefighters for 9/11 Truth and at Ground Zero, and was becoming a little bit more interested, if not completely convinced, but on the way of questioning stuff. So I don't know. I mean, it's early days, and there's a process around that of which I don't really understand. How we need to get the family members on board, but the barrister's helping with that alongside obviously A&E. But that's going to be critical. And so the other group are obviously those who have had loved ones died but haven't had an inquest, and that normally means in the UK that they haven't had any remains identified. Like so many people who died. World Trade Center haven't had any remains returned or identified. It's still sitting around the 40% mark, isn't it? The 1,100 people no trace left at all, you know, pulverized. So, yes, that's something that we actually work on both throughout this phase of doing the petition, but also, you know, once the petition is submitted, because the more family members we can get who had the inquest, the stronger, I guess, our case. Even though in theory you don't need it, it could just be ourselves. But obviously these things, it does help when you've got a group of families. So you look at, I cited two examples earlier of Hillsborough and obviously Bloody Sunday. Their efforts succeeded, you know, in part clearly because they wouldn't give up. The evidence was strong, but also it definitely helped having, you know, more than one family trying to get justice for their loved one. But I remain hopeful. I mean, like I said, once you actually engage a lawyer and a lawyer barrister, and you actually make this turn into something real, I've noticed with my own extended family that, you know, they take you a lot more seriously. You know, yes, I've talked about this until the, you know, the cows come home for the last God knows how many years. But it's that level of seriousness that, you know, if any other family members, were either just, you know, not convinced or just dismissed it as conspiracy theory, once they actually realise this is going on, I did actually start that process a couple of days ago, sending out letters and stuff. You know, I'm hoping that they realise that, you know, their loved one hasn't had a fair, obviously trial, but none of us had trials, but not had a fair inquest. Purely, you know, like I said from the outset, that we have, when I say we, the UK authorities have had to rely solely on what we've done in the US, be it the 9/11 Commission report, and, you know, other reports like NIST reports, etc. They've had to rely on that.
So let's say that this goes completely our way, that the result of this inquest is that the death of Jeff and so many others was the result of controlled demolition that day, not the progressive collapse that the world has thought it was since day one. What are the implications of this? What happens as a result of that? And in your view, where do we go from there as the truth movement?
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, it's going to, I would have thought, strain relations between Britain and the US, you would hope. But I don't know. I mean, for me, it's probably the biggest effect I can think of is probably outside of the 9/11 truth movement, and that is actually other family members. Because if they get wind of it and they hear about it, and I said they may have dismissed stuff before, oh, it's conspiracy, oh, it's this, you know, and not paid any attention, that's where I would like to see that kind of tsunami of truth ripple out and hit family members who, you know, and don't get me wrong, I know it's hard not to bury stuff and don't want to look at stuff. And, you know, my dad and my brother don't, you know, they don't want to give it away other than how he was at the point of his death. But that, for me, is probably the biggest ripple. In terms of actually what that means legally and what can be done in the States and how that would strengthen on any ongoing legal action in the States, I wouldn't be able to comment, I don't know. But I would hope, like I said, it's that level of seriousness and reality that would spread quickly amongst family members all across the world, and they in turn would then do whatever they could do in joint action or otherwise to, you know, prize open the whole 9/11 case even, you know, more than, I guess, what we're trying to achieve in the UK. And obviously give a lot more ammo to those fighting on the front lines of trying to spread 9/11 truth, obviously, because a court in the UK has basically said that explosives brought the towers down and not planes and jet fuel, which would obviously be massive.
Absolutely. I mean, just imagine it, folks, if the results come out the way that we think it should come out, if you just look at the evidence rationally and logically without any predisposed agenda. I mean, this is something that the system, the powers that be, would have to throw everything they have at in order to get the public to ignore it. But I don't think they would be successful. I don't think there's enough celebrity scandals and cute cat videos to throw on the news to make people look away from the fact that an inquest in the UK came to the conclusion that these people died as a result of controlled demolition. Think about the power behind such an outcome that we could take to members of Congress and say, hey, this is what they studied and this is the conclusion they came to over there. Maybe we should look at this ourselves as well. It'd be pretty tough to call the UK government a conspiracy theorist. And you said it might strain relations between the UK and the USA, but I think you and me will still get along just fine. I think it'll actually bring us all closer together to the regular citizens anyway. Matt, I am totally just in awe of your effort over these years and keeping this going and what you're trying to do now. Of course, I'm very supportive. And I want to end this today in our last couple of minutes. Just take a few minutes to tell us about Jeff, what kind of person he was, what it was like growing up with him, so that our audience can focus on why this all matters.
It matters because he was murdered. He was only 31. He got engaged 3 weeks beforehand. He was a very intelligent bloke. He was very good looking, huge hit for the girls, for anyone actually. He'd always have an ear to help and listen to people's problems and stuff. And, you know, I mourn the fact that, okay, my brother isn't alive anymore, but, you know, he's never had his own family. He's not seen my kids growing up. He's not seen my brother's, Rob's kids grow up. And just huge chunks of shared experiences which we would have had going forwards just haven't happened, you know. And only yesterday I was talking with my wife about my brother's ex-fiance, Caroline, and just how her life, you know, just put on hold, and just all her plans that she had were just destroyed that day. And all of us, and I do kind of include Caroline in that as well, have just had to deal with, you know, grief the best you can, and we all deal with it in different ways. But it's also knowing that, you know, he's never had his day in court to try and establish, you know, truth. That typical justice process, you know, that you expect. You see it on telly when there's been a murder. You just, that never happens. And so in the background, there's always been that feeling of unfinished business. And, you know, it's not going to bring him back. It's not going to bring anyone back who's died. But, I mean, 9/11 is way bigger than that. And, you know, the war on terror and all the other people's lives have been affected, whether you're serving in the military, whether you've been on the receiving end of stuff. It's not right to not have a chance to... It's not, again, it won't undo those people who have been affected or died from the, you know, never-ending war on terror and all the rest of it. But I just think that everyone has their should have their chance of justice and getting to the truth of, you know, how someone died. And even though my brother, I think he'd find it almost ridiculous that I'm become this kind of truth and justice activist, because it really wasn't how I was in my early days. You know, it's just, it's something that I feel really strongly about, and yeah, I won't give up, I guess. You know, I need to see this through. I need to do right by Jeff, and I think that's what's driving me.
And hopefully with this initiative, you and our supporters can bring that justice to him and so many others that died on that terrible day. Matt, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
Pleasure. Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Say, have a great week. Good luck.